Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. Hey, how's your week been? I hope it's been really good. Over here, we are, as usual, planning for our two-month trip to Panama. Right now, the two things that we're trying to get checked off our list is finding a house sitter. We had someone great lined up and then they bailed on us. So we're back on the search again. Someone to stay with our cat, right? Because we don't want our cat to be lonely for two whole months while we are moving our lives to Panama. The other thing we sorted this month was figuring out car seats because we're going to go there and we have babies. And obviously we have to figure out how to make sure that they're in the cars safely. So we, you know, I went down the rabbit hole of figuring out what car seats are best. And we bought them. All right, we're moving along on the list. There is so many things that go into moving your life to another country for 2 months. But anyways, you'll be hearing updates as we go. I'll make sure to keep you in the loop. And of course, follow along on Instagram. I'm going to be posting things when we get there. We do leave January 2024. So excited. It is coming up. It's just like 4 months away at this point. So exciting. But what are you here to learn about today? Chances are, if you clicked into this episode, it's because you're feeling a little bit tired. Maybe you want a better sleep, better quality sleep, but the problem seems to be that you're struggling with going to bed earlier. I'm actually just in the middle of reviewing all of the applications for the Becoming Limitless Scholarship Program that I'm running right now. And so many of the applicants are saying like, you know, I'm tired right now. I just know if I could get a routine, if I could wind down properly, if I could go to bed on time, everything would be so much better. And despite how much you want to go to bed on time, you just aren't feeling tired at bedtime. You're just like, my brain is really active. I kind of want to jump back into work. I just don't feel tired. And this is really affecting my ability to go to bed. So today's episode, all about how to go to bed earlier. And I'm going to be teaching you how to shift your body clock. All right, we're going to get into all what that is too. So do not worry. So if the problem is that you don't feel tired at bedtime, or you don't feel like you want to go to bed because your brain has not been like, hey, let's go. It's bedtime. We need to get good sleep tonight. Here is the solution. We need to learn how to shift our body clock by cueing it properly. All right. And when we are able to cue our body properly so that we get tired at bedtime, you will start falling asleep within that 5 to 15 minute latency window. Oh, doesn't it feel good? You can fall asleep quickly. You're tired getting close to bedtime. You look forward to crawling into some your fresh sheets, curling up with a book, flipping off the lights, and slipping off into sleep. Like, that's the dream, right? So what do we got to do? We got to teach you how to get sleepy on time. Because if we're not getting sleepy on time, we're likely staying up and doing a lot of consuming, whether that be Netflix or YouTube, or we're scrolling Instagram. And when we are doing these type of things, we're not getting good sleep, and that affects your business. Because here's the deal. If you are sleepy, if you're not feeling very sharp, if you're not feeling very focused, not only does the quality of your work drop, but you can't make decisions effectively. You feel foggy all day and it takes you longer to get everything done. This means you're always feeling behind, never caught up, and it's a self-feeding cycle, right? I mean, that's why we're on our computers getting a little more work done at 10 p.m., right? It's because we didn't get anything done during the day. Well, wouldn't it just be better to get good sleep, stay productive during the day, get everything done, and then have your evening time for you, right? So the result is we really just want you to feel more energy, and I want you to feel more focused in your business. So we're going to rewind it all the way back, and instead of slapping on a bunch of Band-Aids, giving you some more caffeine, and taking a cold shower in the morning, let's get you to bed earlier so that you can have quality sleep. So here's a funny story. My husband and I were looking at his Fitbit data, and I had noticed like for the last month, he hadn't gotten more than like 6 hours and 15 minutes of sleep. And I was like, yo, what's going on with your sleep? And he's like, you know, I'm just not feeling tired before bed. And I just stay up. Now keep in mind, like we're usually in bed around 9 o'clock. And he's like, well, I'm on my laptop till 9:30. And then I read for a while. And I was like, cool. Do you want to do an experiment? What if for the next week, you turn off your screens at 8:30, 8:40, and then you just read. And the funny thing is like he is falling asleep faster than me now. So what this whole point of the story is showing you is that just by changing one variable on how his brain was being stimulated before bed, he now gets tired and falls asleep. And the crazy thing is he's been getting 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep for like the last week and a half now. And it's crazy to see just like he notices his mood difference. He feels better. It's easier to stick to his fasting schedule. So a lot can happen when you take care of your brain and your body clock. So we're going to go through some of the factors that contribute to you staying up late that I teach inside of my Becoming Limitless program as part of my CEO sleep system. But first, let's talk words here so that we know we're all on the same page. So let's talk about your body clock. You've probably heard this before, but what is it? It's your own body's ideal circadian rhythm. Now, if you've heard the word circadian rhythm before, your body basically functions on a clock. So think about this. Your heart rate goes up and down at certain times of the day. Your hormones pulse and retreat at certain times of the day. Your heart rate, your blood pressure, your body temperature, your sleep-wake cycles, like these all happen at very rhythmic times during the day. And this is actually run by our brain. It's not something we necessarily can choose. Now, we all have a unique clock in our body that functions slightly different from everyone else because it is very unique to us, right? Now, the problem is it gives you a rhythm of like when your ideal bedtime is and when your ideal wake-up time is. And if you follow this rhythm, you're going to feel a lot better. But here's the deal. If you live outside of this rhythm, meaning you're sleeping later than your body wants you to sleep, or you're waking up later than your body wants you to wake up, then you might constantly feel jet lagged. You know, jet lag, that feeling of just like that foggy thinking, you're tired, you can't catch up, your body kind of feels off. If you've experienced that, you may actually just literally be giving your body jet lag because your body clock is misaligned, right? Now, if you want to do a deep dive on circadian rhythms, I'm going to invite you to listen to episode 82 of the podcast. It's called Circadian Rhythms, Unlocking Entrepreneurial Success. And in there, I do a deep dive on what circadian rhythms are, how to influence them and everything like that. But for the purpose of this episode, I'm going to be teaching you how to use elements of your circadian rhythm to cue your brain to fall asleep sooner and faster and earlier. All right. Now, naturally, this brings up the conversation of chronotypes. Have you heard that word before? So your chronotype is your body's genetic preference to be a late morning or an early morning person. So an example of a late morning person would be someone that wakes up and feels really good waking up around 7:30 or 8 a.m. in the morning. An early morning would be someone who thrives waking up at 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. Now, I did a deep dive on a different episode as well on chronotypes, episode 30, the 5 a.m. club lie. Go listen to that one if you really want to deep dive on chronotypes, but I'm going to give you the gist of it here. You have a gene called your PER3 gene, and it actually dictates what time your clock runs at. It is genetically set, like your eye color or your hair color. So meaning you can't change it. If you are naturally an early bird, you are naturally an early bird. If you're naturally a late morning riser, that is who you are. Fighting with it gives you that sense of jet lag, all right? So think about this. Like my hair is like a medium blondie brown color, right? Like that would be my chronotype, let's say. Now I can dye my hair black, meaning I can do things to shift it, but underneath, I still have brown hair. My roots are still coming in brown, no matter how many times I dye it black. So that's the same thing with thinking of like shifting your chronotype. If you are naturally designed to wake up at 7:30 or 8 a.m., that is like having brown hair and trying to wake up at 5:30 a.m. is like dyeing your hair black and hoping one day you'll just wake up with black hair. It's not going to work that way. You are always going to have brown hair. So having said that, we're going to be doing our best to embrace our chronotype. I'm going to talk about that a bit later. But in general, we want to work with our chronotype. Now, there's two ways that you can find it. I read a book called The Power of When by Dr. Michael Bruce. And if you go on Google and you just search up The Power of When quiz, there is a free quiz that you can do. And what it will do is it'll ask you a bunch of questions that are personality type questions. And based on those, it will give you an idea of what it thinks your chronotype is. So it'll divide it into animals. So for example, if it tells you you are a bear, your ideal schedule might be 11 to 7:30 for sleep and wake, right? If you are a lion, you might be 9 to 5:30. If you are a dolphin, you might suffer with insomnia. And then the last one I think is a wolf, which means you go to bed around midnight and wake up around 8. And this is when you thrive. It does not mean you're lazy if you wake up late. It means that is your chronotype. So if you have that opportunity, go and check that out. I always find it so interesting. If you want to come over on Instagram, let me know what your chronotype is. But if you do not have access to that quiz, or you don't want to do it, but you have an Oura ring, then you can genetically find out your body clock. Now, you don't need an Oura ring to like understand what I'm going to say here, but it's just kind of cool information to know. But if you have an Oura ring, every morning when I wake up, it gives me an assessment of where the midpoint of my sleep was relative to my chronotype. So let's say I am most optimized when I go to bed at 9 and wake up at 5. So the midpoint would be 4 hours in. It'd be 1 a.m., right? It then looks at the time I woke up and the time I went to sleep and looks at the midpoint of that. And if those two midpoints of my actual sleep and my ideal sleep line up, I am going to feel good and energetic and focused. And that's what I really want, right? So by following this natural rhythm that Oura identifies, it's gonna help me stay alert and focused, right? And it does that based on a few things. I think Oura specifically looks at your activity levels at certain times of the day. I think it looks at your body temperature, your sleep-wake cycles. I think it looks at your heart rate patterns and things like this. And it deduces when you are best or most likely to get the best sleep, and then it makes that recommendation for you. And like, I have a client and his rhythm is 12:05 to 8:05. And my rhythm is like 8 something to 5. Like it's amazing how different bodies can function. And this is just more to speak to the fact that you aren't doing it wrong. Okay. You can be a late sleeper and still be very successful. The 5 a.m. club is a lie. And that's why I did that whole podcast episode on it. All right. So what I learned from the body clock on Oura is that I am an early morning type. I feel best early in the mornings. But the crazy thing is I am part of 10 to 15% of the population that thrives on a 5 a.m. wake up. And I mean, this is great, but it comes with its downsides too, right? And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So, okay, now we kind of have an idea what your body clock is. We have an idea of that is genetically determined, that you can shift it around and you can do things to influence it, but you fundamentally can't change what it is. Now, if you have a work schedule or a kids related, you have to get them to school, or there's something going on with your family that necessitates, is that the word I'm looking for? That necessitates that you have a schedule that is not what your body's clock is, there are things you can do to coax your brain to fall asleep earlier. So if you want to go to bed earlier, this episode is going to, from here on out, tell you all of the things you need to know to start shifting your body clock to help you go to sleep earlier. So I wrote out a couple points here, what I want to go with you through with you. So let's jump in. So number one is I want you to accept the advantages that come with your unique chronotype. So I had a client and she found out she was a lion, which means, you know, she gets tired around 8:30 and wakes up around 5. And she was feeling so sleepy at 8:30 to 9 all the time. And she hated it because whenever she went out for social things with her friends, she was exhausted and tired all the time and always wanted to go home early and end the party early. And she felt a lot of guilt for that. But when I really allowed her to say like, hey, this is normal. Like, this is you and your body. It's not nothing wrong. You're not exhausted because you can't stay up. This is just how your body's wired. It allowed her to let go of a lot of that guilt, right? And the other thing she said was like, well, Tess, if I start going to sleep at 9 at night, I'm used to going to sleep at 11. If I go to sleep at 9 at night, I am going to lose so much time. Like, hours of my quiet time. My kids are in bed. When am I going to have that time for me, right? And I was like, no, you're not losing time. You're just experiencing that time at a different time on the clock, right? You're still going to spend 8 hours in bed, but instead of getting your time from 9 to 11, you now get it from 5 to 7. Right? Like, oh, this is so cool. You're actually gaining that time in the morning. And for me personally, speaking from my chronotype, like, I love this because for me, the time that I spend in the evening staying up, it's always consumption time. I am, you know, watching TV. I'm scrolling on Instagram. I'm doing something that involves me consuming. But when I get up early in the morning, I'm able to plug in for myself. I work out. I'm able to read. I'm able to have some quiet, maybe go for a walk. Like I've just seen it as like, I'm not losing time by going to sleep at 8:39. That's my chronotype, remember? I actually just gain it in the morning. So if you can start shifting to think that no matter what chronotype you're at, you have the time. It's just, where is it on the physical clock, right? And like I mentioned, I have that client who is a 12 to 8. That's his chronotype, and his most restful sleep is on that schedule. And it's so interesting. Whenever we play with it and try to get him to go to sleep a little bit earlier, he has way more wake-ups in the early part of the night. Like, his sleep is less restful. So I think it's one of those things, like, if we could just listen to our body clock, all right, that would be so great. And like I said, if you can't follow your chronotype because of work or kids, don't sweat it. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to be as consistent as you can with the schedule that you can follow. So let's say you got an Oura Ring or you went and did that quiz and you found out that your ideal time was 11 to 7:30. But you have to get up earlier than 7:30 to get the kids to school. You have to wake up at 6, so you have to do 10 to 6. That's not a problem. Like, if there's nothing we can do about it, let go of the stress around that. And I want you to choose that chronotype of 10 to 6 and be as consistent as you can. I'm going to say this. Don't screw yourself by staying up late on the weekends. Like, often if we have to get up early to do something, you know, consistently, like kids to school, whatever like that is we'll get up at 6 during the week and then we'll sleep in till 9 on the weekends. This is giving you jet lag all the way through the early part of the week. Like, you could literally be having impaired cognitive function all the way to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday throughout the week. Don't screw yourself by staying up late on the weekends and sleeping in late. If you have to adopt an earlier chronotype, stay with it as much as you can. Of course, there's going to be the odd date night. Of course, there's going to be a social activity here and there, or a family event, or whatever. You're a human. It's okay. But don't intentionally alter and give yourself jet lag just to stay up to watch a couple episodes of Netflix. It's not worth it. Come back to this idea that, like, hey, we're not losing time. You can literally watch that TV show in the morning. Isn't that crazy? You can watch Netflix in the morning. But here's the thing. We don't ever do that because our decision-making and our willpower is highest first thing in the morning. And we are way more likely to choose activities that fulfill us and that move our day forward and have us feeling organized and refreshed. Isn't that interesting? So maybe instead of thinking, like, I don't get to stay up till midnight watching TV with my partner anymore, what can you do in the mornings? Maybe you guys can get a workout in together, right? It's literally about reframing. All right, okay, that's number one. Accept your chronotype and the advantages to each. So number two, I want you to ask yourself, if you want to go to bed earlier, I want you to ask yourself, why do you want to change it? So I want you to notice when I'm asking these things, like, I'm not jumping into the tactics, which I know is what you're here for. You're just like, tell me what I can do so I can go to bed earlier, so that I can wake up earlier. But much of what I do is about looking at your mind and the way that you think. And this is so important because I'm a full believer, and I teach this in my programs, that the single biggest and best skill that you can master as an entrepreneur, as a parent, as a person living in this world is your ability to direct your thinking on purpose, to direct your focus, to be able to say, this is what I want to do and I am going to do it despite all of these circumstances which are making it feel hard, motivation, whatever like that. So you'll notice I am talking a lot about that because this is what makes the difference. Because to be honest, if I just gave you a list of ideas like, hey, alter this, and this, and you'll be able to wake up earlier, sure, you'd probably wake up early for the next week, but it wouldn't stick, right? Because you'd probably be like, oh, this sucks, I'm missing out on all this me time, and you'd go back to Netflix until midnight again. So I really want to get in your brain and help you fundamentally change the way you see yourself and your health and give you some alternate beliefs to look at this reality. That is how I facilitate change, all right? Now, why do you want to get up earlier? All right. Or sorry, why do you want to go to bed earlier? I'm already thinking about the morning. Why do you want to go to bed earlier? Why do you want to shift your body clock? Here is not a good reason to shift your body clock. If you saw someone on Instagram who said you have to be up at 5 in the morning to be successful or you suck, If you saw that on Instagram and then came over to this episode to figure out how to do it, I want to let you know that you do not have to get up early just because you think that the most successful people in the world wake up early, so you should too. I promise you, you can be successful on any schedule. There is actually a colleague that I have, and he has, with his community, he wakes up every morning at like 3:30, 4 a.m. and posts a photo of him waking up at that time. And it is like, you know, if you want to be successful and if you want to not have your workout screwed up and stuff like that, you have to get up at like 4:48 in the morning, 4 in the morning, all of this kind of stuff. But the interesting thing is, like, he likely doesn't recognize or even know about the concept of chronotypes. So when, you know, people go into his program, I'm sure they do have success and I'm sure they do love waking up early, but they probably also find that they're super foggy and low energy all the day. So yeah, I mean, you're getting your workout in, but if you feel like crap the rest of the time, is this really a payoff? And if you're sacrificing your sleep, you're really not getting the benefits of your workout anyway. So I really want you to caution that when people are saying you have to get up early to have success, to get your workout in, or you won't be able to do it because then the day runs away from you, these are likely people that are these natural early birds and don't recognize the concept of chronotypes. So let that guilt go. I also, there is a YouTuber that I follow and I absolutely adore her. And she did a video on how to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. And I was reading the comments on this YouTube video and it was like, oh, this is a dream. I'm so glad. I've wanted to wake up earlier forever. This is going to give me the motivation to start getting up at 4:30. All the comments were people like so excited and jacked up about this. And she was going on about how she loves her Oura ring to help her stay accountable. And she flashed her Oura across the screen, like she, her phone face. She basically faced it towards the camera. And I mean, I claim that, you know, I'm an expert at reading Oura ring data. And I was looking at her data and she was recording this video about how great it is to wake up at 4:30 a.m. and here's my routine that makes me so successful at it. And I could see on her Oura ring data by looking at the body clock that she flashed on the screen that she was getting half of the amount of recommended sleep, which means that the average body clock recommends you get 8 hours of sleep. She was getting 4 hours. And here she is on the internet glorifying getting up at 4:30, follow my special routine for it. Yet she's not getting good sleep. And it's so funny. And it made me, I was watching the video and I remember she turned it on. And I remember thinking like, she doesn't look so good. Like she looked rough. She had like bags under her eyes and was looking really tired and going on about how great a morning routine was and was like, hey, you know, it doesn't matter because if you are motivated in your life, getting up at 4:30 is easy. And I was like, no. So be cautious of what you see out there on the internet. So rant over on that. Okay. Another question to ask yourself, do you like mornings better or evenings? Like, is there a reason you want to go to bed earlier? Because if it's just because you saw it on the internet, then we really want to dig in more of like, do you actually like that being up early in the morning better? And if you do, maybe we should shift it. Or do you like having that evening time? Is that when you really feel cozy? Or is that when you really feel like you can relax? Like, this is all reasons you might want to shift your clock. Another question you want to ask yourself is do you like how you use your time in the morning differently versus the evening? So you know how back to I said that for me, my evenings, if I stay up past my bedtime, I'm consuming. I'm on Instagram, I'm watching YouTube, I'm watching Netflix, or God forbid, I'm back in my inbox. Terrible thing for me. But that's how I use that time. And I never use my morning time that way. I like how I use my morning time better, so I'd rather have that time there. So that might be a reason you want to go to bed earlier. Or how can you choose to use your time differently if you want to keep your current rhythm? So let's say you like how you use your time in the morning better, but shifting your clock puts you out of rhythm and you feel all tired and jet laggy. Can you choose to use your evening time differently? So I just did an episode a couple episodes ago called How to Get More Out of Your Downtime. And it's really looking at like, well, if I am going to have a later evening time that I'm going to go to sleep because this feels better for me, what do I want to feel from this time? If I want to feel relaxed or I want to feel peaceful, I need to make sure I'm choosing things that make me feel like that. The literal time on the clock that you have your me time does not matter. I'm constantly looking at, am I getting out of this time what makes me feel good? All right. So why do you want to get up earlier? Now, let's say, okay, I've accepted my chronotype. I know why I want to change it, and I still want to change it. Let's get into some of the tactics. Number one, what is the target bedtime that you want? You need to know that first. So I want you to know, like, hey, I want to have my lights out by 10 o'clock. I want to have my lights out by 11 o'clock. I want to have my lights out by 9 o'clock. You need to pick a time. So we start there. Now, first, we need to understand the actual problem. So remember at the beginning, I said the problem is you do not feel tired at bedtime. Your brain is too active. Maybe you want to jump into work, right? We need to understand the problem and why we're feeling alert. So I'm going to go through five factors here that are scientifically cueing your brain for you not to feel tired, okay? Number one is light. Light enters your eyes. It goes into your brain, into a little area called your suprachiasmatic nucleus, your SCN. And what it does is it stops melatonin production. It's like, hey, the light from your screen is white and blue, and that's light that I see when it's the middle of the day. So this definitely means that we're in the middle of the day. We should produce all the chemicals in the body that keep us alert. We should definitely not produce melatonin, and we should definitely not feel tired, right? Because if you think about it, like if you remove electricity from your life and you only had to live by the sunlight outside in the evening, it's dark. It gets dark. It gets dim. It gets red, like red, orange, sunset colors, dimness, all of that kind of stuff. That tells your brain time to get winding down for sleep. Melatonin needs to be produced. It's time to feel relaxed. But if you are staring at a screen, does not matter what screen it is, you are telling your brain to stay alert and not produce the hormone melatonin that helps you feel sleepy. This is so important to understand. It's not that you have trouble going to bed earlier. It's you're literally telling your brain to stay up and then wondering why we're not tired. All right. Number one, light. Number two, temperature. All right. So if you wanted to feel alert in the morning, the best thing you can do is increase your core temperature. All right. Now, if I wanted to increase my core temperature, I might do exercise. I might move around, all of those kind of things. But think about this at night. If you are sleeping in a very warm environment or you are all bundled up, you keep your core temperature very warm. And this prevents a natural drop in temperature that happens prior to falling asleep and makes you sleepy. Yes, you heard me. Your body temperature has to drop for you to feel sleepy. So if you are all cozied up, warm under 8 blankets on a heating pad, I can guarantee you this is affecting your brain's ability to wind down and fall asleep. Factor number three, food and exercise. If you are eating or exercising within 3 hours of bed, this increases body temperature, it increases heart rate, and it increases blood pressure. There's a very good chance as well that you're stimulating cortisol and adrenaline if you're working out, and these things actually jack up your resting heart rate. So not only does it make it harder to fall asleep because it makes you feel alert, right? I mean, exercise wakes us up. Food wakes us up. Your body needs to digest. But when you actually fall asleep, your heart rate takes forever to drop. And this means you're not getting the quality of sleep that we need for you to perform in your business the next day. Factor number four, cortisol and input. So if you are staring into a screen or you're writing a work email or you're creating content or you're on Instagram or you're watching Netflix, no matter what you're doing, all of this is entering your brain and keeping it stimulated. Your brain is staying in a frequency called beta, and this is alert. It is focused. What you need before bed is to shift into alpha, which is being present and relaxed and at peace. This is what is going to help you feel ready for bed. But if you are constantly inputting, whether honestly that be social media or whatever it is, we're pumping up that adrenaline, we're pumping the cortisol, and we're pumping the input, and it is no wonder we can't sleep. Then the last factor is we start to look at caffeine. If you are a late caffeine drinker, meaning past noon, you are drinking caffeine, or you are drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee, even if it is before noon, this directly blocks a receptor in your brain for adenosine. Adenosine's job is to make you tired. If you block that receptor with caffeine, you will not feel tired. So think about this. I'm gonna give you just a sample rundown, and I want you to see if you can see yourself in any of these. So I told you earlier, my lights out time is between 8:45 and 9:15 p.m. So if I wanted, we're gonna do the flip side of this, okay? If I wanted to not feel tired, I wanted to feel very alert before bed, I wanted to stay up later, here is what I would do. I would drink coffee until 12 or 2 and maybe even have an extra cup of coffee past my usual 8 a.m. cutoff. Then I would work out. Remember, I go to bed at 8:45. I would work out until 7 p.m., get my heart rate up, get really sweaty. And then after I would work out, I would eat a really large meal at 7:30. Remember, this is all what I would do if I wanted to stay alert. I would have a very large meal. It would be mostly carbs, and I would wrap it up with dessert, maybe ice cream or popcorn, something very carby. And I would snack a little bit right up until bed, even though I wasn't hungry. Then I would jump in a cold shower, which wakes me up. Then I would probably sit on, I'd watch a couple episodes of TV right before bed, maybe on YouTube, scroll my phone. And then I'd get into bed and then I'd look at my husband and I would talk to him about work. I would talk to him about my marketing. I would talk to him about the videos I have to post. I would talk to him about the reels that I was making. I would talk to him about my marketing strategy. I would talk all about work, and I would do it while sitting on a heating pad or under a warm blanket, right? Bundle up, get really warm. Then after I was done that, I'd open up a business book, start reading it. I'd think about all of the things I wanted to do with my business and this and how I could grow my brand. And then after I put the business book down, I'd probably check my email once or two more times, accidentally, whoops, scroll Instagram for 15 minutes because I do every time I open my phone. And then to kick it off, I would do that whole routine at a completely different time on the weekends. This, what I just gave you, is the perfect example of how to screw with your brain's ability to wind down before bed. If you do any of those things, it totally makes sense why you're struggling to go to bed earlier. Ah, this is a good thing, because when we see this, now we know how to fix it. It's not that you're not tired. It's that you're cueing your brain to be wide awake. So if you want to go to bed earlier, do the opposite of everything I just said. Absolute opposite. Okay. Now, what I would do, so if we were doing the opposite, go back through, even if you needed to rewind, go back through, listen to everything I just said and write down the opposite. That'll be your to-do list for real. Now, if you do want to go to bed earlier and you have done the opposite of so many things that I was saying, here are actually four things that I would take into account that would help me make sure that I was shifting my body clock to go to bed earlier. I would create a wind down routine that downshifts your brain activities. You know how we talked about your brain is in beta, alert and focus. We need to shift it to alpha, and we need to know the activities to do that. And this is something we cover in detail in my CEO sleep system. So if you ever do decide to join me in the Becoming Limitless program, this is something in detail we go through because it matters, right? But you want to create a wind down routine that creates that peace, that presence, and that calm. The second thing, we want to remove the stimuli that tells your brain to be alert. So whether that is the caffeine, the TV, the screens, the scrolling, the conversation, the business books, we want to make sure that we are keeping it info and input light before bed, all right? Then number three, I want you to allow your heart rate to stay low in the 2 to 3 hours before bed. And this looks like not doing exercise if possible in the 2 to 3 hours before bed, not eating large meals or food at all, even snacks, within 2 to 3 hours before bed, right? Just allow yourself to relax. And then lastly, cue your circadian rhythm with light and temperature. So lights are dim, they're red, and they're low, and your temperature is nice and cool. Your bedroom is nice and cool. You're wearing light layers. All of these things are wonderful. So some other fun things, I just wrote down a couple other ideas here. Red glasses are really good for helping with the light color and intensity. So I actually have a pair of blue light blocking glasses with red lenses in them. They filter out a lot of blue light, and I find they just really help me feel nice and sleepy, right? Brain FM is really good. So this is an app that I love. And I will leave a link in the description, but this is an app that I love, and they actually have a channel on there called Relax. And you listen, and it has these note bots that invite your brain into that alpha brainwave frequency that I was telling you about, right? So we want our brain to go into alpha. So Brain FM is the app that I really like for that. I also put a red light bulb in one of my lights, my bedside table lamps. And that is because during the evening, we only use the lamp with the red bulb. All of these things I'm using to cue my brain that it is time to sleep. Now, really, all you need, if you know how we chose our bedtime, all you need from here out is an alarm that goes off on your phone that goes off 60 minutes before the time that you want to be in bed, and then you start putting in the tactics that we have talked about, all right? Shifting your body clock earlier so that you can fall asleep. So if you get that alarm, so let's say you're like me and you want to be asleep by 9 or lights out by 9, I am putting an alarm for 8 p.m. And after that, I am only doing things that cue my brain to wind down. No checking emails, no looking at screens. I'm having a nice warm shower so that I can cool my core down. I have that in another episode if you want to talk about that later. And just literally looking at no screens, low light, you know, just phasing out all of the movement, nice and quiet, cozy time before bed. So 60 minutes out, and then using your self-discipline to execute on that until this becomes your routine and you find it easier to stick to. So last thing I'm going to say, let's say right now you are doing all the things possible that cue your brain to stay alert. Great. I want you to ask yourself this. What is one thing you can change? One thing that you can change right now to help you go to bed earlier. And if you listen to my story with my husband in the beginning, the one thing we changed for him was screens off. And that made all the difference. So that would honestly be where I'd recommend to start. I know it is hard. Start with 15 minutes before bed if you really want to take it gradually. Then move to 30, 45, 60. But these are things that you can layer in one at a time. Pick one thing, change it, give it a week or two, and then change one more thing. So I hope that has been helpful and giving you insight in how to go to bed earlier. The big thing I want you to take away is it's all about shifting your clock and understanding what factors are cueing your brain to stay alert and then modifying or removing them until you are naturally getting tired at your desired bedtime. I hope you guys have a beautiful week and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.